freedom is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
But I want to get the language right.
The government is in trouble.
You're all a bunch of slaves. A bunch of slaves.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of me?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. How's everyone doing this evening? We're having a little bit of technical difficulties, but that'll be all right if everybody out there can hear us. It is February the 24th, Tuesday, 2015. There's a bunch of big stories in the news this evening. We'll get to them here in just a second, but as always, I'm your host, S.M. Gibson. And joined here in the studio with our wonderful producer, it's Mr. Shannon Madden. How you doing, Shannon?
I'm doing pretty good. We're in here, and you have to forgive us. We're kind of cracking up over a few of these news stories that are going on right now. And none of it's actually really funny, but, well, just listen. You'll see what we're talking about.
Yeah, okay. So let's start here at the top. It's breaking news. Eddie Ray Routh has been found guilty of capital murder in the shooting deaths of Chris Kyle and Chad Littlefield. So that's right now the big story going on. But what it really does is puts Chris Kyle back on the lips of Americans everywhere. The propaganda is spewing once again.
Yeah, first off, and again, you know, I look at things a little bit differently than most folks. We'll see the headline and immediately start burrowing into the other side of the story. The other side of this story is that this trial took place in Texas, in the state of Texas. And we're broadcasting this from the state of Alabama, which is notorious for its capital punishment. Texas overshadows us, oh gosh, 5-1, 10-1. And now, I mean, you know, the old, I want to say, who was it? One of the old comedians used to talk about having an electric bench and put them all on the bench and fry them all at once. Texas has an electric bench. And for somebody to murder two people in a trial that's this publicized, has a Oscar-nominated motion picture made about it, and not get the death penalty, there's something other than just the normal is going on here. And I'm not saying that he should die or shouldn't die or this, that, and the other. I wasn't there. I don't know all the facts.
Well, he did admit to doing it. Let's see if we've got any callers that would like to weigh in on the situation. Area code 209, how are you doing this evening? Looks like we lost the caller. That's all right. But, okay, before we get back on the Chris Kyle thing, because I, you know, there's a lot to talk about with that. There's another story we've got on anti-media regarding that. But let's kind of run down some of the headlines real quick. We've got the black sites in Chicago. That's big news right now. We've got Obama vetoing the Keystone Pipeline today. It's now official. Alaska is the third state in the union to allow legal marijuana.
There is no oil, but there is the green.
There is that. All right, let's take another caller. Area code 718. Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, what's up, man?
Doing good. How are you doing? What would you like to talk about?
Hey, what up? Hey, thanks.
Say what? All right, then. We're live out here on the air, so they're coming in and we're not screening them. That's all right. That's freedom of expression right there.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. Did you hear Bill Gates says that he believes that a global government is badly needed? He was speaking to a German publication that I'm not even going to pretend to announce the name of. And, I'll embarrass myself if I try because I don't speak German. But he believes we need a global government. Also, we've got ISIS. How many times do we talk about this? They've kidnapped
ISIS. Yeah.
Scores of Christians in northeast Syria over the past few days. They also released a video of them, which looks like they're 7 feet tall in this video. They're hauling off 21 Christians, Egyptian Christians this time, on a Libyan beach on their way to behead them. But the video is obviously edited and fake, once again, shock. ISIS, you know, with their green screens, which they've proven, and now that they're making us believe they're a lot taller, it's Manute Bol.
Well, you saw the video of the one with all those kids in the cage, right? Oh,
yes.
Wait a minute.
That wasn't real.
There's a lot of things that are not real that are being shoved down our throats right now that if we don't do our own work and find out what's really going on and what's behind the scenes, we're all guilty.
It is what it is. Okay, so let's jump back on to Chris Kyle. It's all you're seeing on TV right now, Eddie Ray Ralph, convicted of capital murder. Okay, we have a story on the anti-media right now about the chaplain of Mid-American Nazarene.
This is a fascinating story. I really like this.
Mid-American Nazarene University, his name is Dr. Randy Beckham, and he got up and spoke at a chapel service for the school, which they have regularly, and basically talked about the culture of the United States, and specifically Christians, how they champion people like Chris Kyle.
And bear in mind, this is a college that is for the Nazarene denomination of the Christian religion.
But it's, you know, very conservative views. And he was basically, 60% of his sermon was the words of Jesus and biblical references.
Kind of like you would expect a Christian sermon.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so the problem is there was an outrage at the school and on campus, and he was one of the vice presidents at the university. Well, no more. He's not a vice president at the university anymore. He's been taken off. He's still serving as the chaplain at the school, but there's a huge difference in being a chaplain and a vice president. We've got another caller calling in, area code 765. Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. How are you doing tonight?
We're doing good. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Doing good. What would you like to talk about?
I don't know. What would you like to talk about?
Well, we're definitely on the topic of Chris Kyle right this second. You know, the guilty verdict has come down. The propaganda's back on the tips of everybody's tongue right now. Regarding the American Sniper movie, what are your thoughts regarding that?
You know, I think that is an amazing movie. It has an amazing storyline. And Chris Kyle, he's a legend for sure. And he did not deserve to die how he died.
Now, agree.
Well, I mean, at the same time, nobody really deserves to die.
Right. But yeah. do you not feel like it when he was originally shot, you know, Ron Paul tweeted out, "You live by the sword, you die by the sword." And a lot of people got mad at Ron Paul about that. What are your thoughts about that? As far as, you know, Chris Kyle did brag about killing two guys in Texas, which had nothing to do with war. He bragged about being on the roof of the Superdome right after yeah. Katrina and said he was just picking off Americans in the streets.
I got to ask, caller, have you read the book yet?
I have not read the book, and I was not aware that Chris Kyle had made that statement.
Yes.
Actually, need to read the book. Actually, you might want to shop around and get the early copy of the book that also has the story of Jesse Ventura that he successfully sued the publisher for and had the story redacted. Go back and get the first version of the book. That's probably, you're going to see a lot of things or read a lot of things in that book that are not in the movie, and there's a very, very good reason it's not in the movie, because it's not factual. And the thing, and if they were factual, then Chris Kyle has killed more Americans than, John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, if you believe his own, by his own words, he either lied a lot or he was just killed indiscriminately. And that's what we're talking about here. We're not even talking about what happened overseas. And two,
right.
if you read the book, like the movie makes it, they portray him as, you know, being very conflicted and very, you know, moral and, you know, ambiguous to the situation that's going on over there in the war.
I'm going to say right now that Chris Kyle was, he was affected by what he had to do over there. But at the same time, he should have never been over there in the first place. If you could start there and branch out.
You can, but by his own words, there was no moral ambiguity with what he felt he did. He said he felt like
He loved it. He absolutely loved it.
You know, you should read the book and find out for yourself that his own words and his own book is not what is portrayed necessarily in the movie. We also have another caller calling in right now, area code 254. Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. How are you doing tonight?
Hello?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, sir. How about you?
Doing good. What would you like to talk about?
Oh, nothing, sir. I just saw the number on Facebook and thought I'd give it a call. And mainly about police misconduct. That's my main thing. That's my main thing that I'm going against with the media.
Yeah. Go ahead and give us your thoughts about that.
I mean, honestly, yeah, it's a lot racial, but I think it's just mainly their ego. They're too high on their high horse and think that they're better than everybody else. And then when it comes to actually committing crimes, people get arrested just because they refuse to talk to the police. In my opinion, excuse my French, that's just bullshit.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of it, too, it stems from really the lack of justice that is served when it's dealing with somebody in uniform. You know, there's good people that do every job in the world. There's bad people that do every job in the world. I think the biggest indiscretion and the biggest problem is when one of these cops do something wrong, they don't receive punishment for it. And it's showing you that there's two classes of citizens in this country. And I think that's something that we can address and we should be facing, that should be in the mainstream media, that should be spoken about every American in this country.
Yes, sir, exactly. And
but I tell you what, thank you so much for the call, and thank you for calling in.
Yes, sir, thank you. All right, take it easy.
You know,
both great callers, by the way.
Absolutely great calls. You know, that's actually a good place that we can springboard into one of the things that we were going to talk about tonight, about the activist who was been arrested in Ferguson, Missouri during all of the, you know, the turmoil that's going on there, has been arrested 7 times, but the S hit the fan, so to speak, when one of the police pulled him and a carload of activists that were, in and around a hot spot in Ferguson, searched the car and found a Guy Fawkes mask, which is, synonymous with
anonymous.
So, yeah, I made that rhyme. I'm a poet. Didn't know it.
You are.
They pulled him out of the car. The situation escalated from a normal BS traffic stop. Hey, we're going to get everybody out of the car and search your car, without a warrant or any kind of reason or provocation, because you're in a spot that we don't want you to be in, and we're going to see what you're up to. And here we are. We have some people that are, doing exactly what you should do in a situation and stand up for what's right and speak your mind. And now he's being punished for it. Let's take a call.
Area code 714. Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. How you doing tonight?
What's up?
Can you turn your speakers down just a little bit?
Technology is very challenging.
It is, but that'll be all right. Okay, let's go to one more. Area code 970. Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. How you doing tonight?
Pretty good,
you? Doing great. What would you like to talk about?
Hello?
Can you speak up a little bit? We're having trouble hearing you.
Can we talk about ISIS?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. We're having problems hearing her. If you want to call back, you're more than welcome to. Area code 845. Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. How are you doing tonight? Technology is definitely not our friend this evening.
I want to blame this on the snowstorm. Everybody just keep calling. We're having a little trouble on this end. Back to the anonymous activist. Well, here we have a fella who is, standing up for what's right. He's already is in one video, and they've actually videoed one of the interactions with this police that was actually videotaped by Associated Press, and videotaped him, and the police account of what happened is completely different from the account of the actual videotape itself.
Cops wouldn't lie.
That wouldn't
happen.
Unless they think that maybe they're not going to be able to accomplish quashing the information that's going around and the information that's being spread about the bullcrap that they're doing. And again, and we've said this on this show more than once, police are, as a whole, are not bad people, and there are situations where we do need police officers.
I do feel, though, at the same time, you have to acknowledge that even the people that are good, that are acting as police officers, I feel like they are serving, they have to uphold bad law. And there's so much involved as far as generating revenue.
And there's so much pressure that's put on police officers to generate a certain amount of revenue by all of these bullcrap laws that they've enacted. And they, meaning the politicians and the local governments and people that have quietly here and there realized that you don't really have to have a real job. We can just run for office and sit and make laws.
Right, and they can sit there and bring in money.
There's a lot of people in local governments that do that.
Absolutely. Area code 919, welcome to Anti-Media Radio. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, guys.
Fantastic.
You can hear me, correct?
Yes, I can hear you good.
Okay, tech's working now, so that's cool. I would like to talk about general stuff that's happened lately, and then a few other things too, since I think you guys would be the best to look into it. So I would like to talk about first the Chicago police black site like prison thing.
That's on our list to talk about. Somebody.
Yeah, the yes. Holman. Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's just like, so I think it came out in The Guardian first.
They broke it earlier today, and we had it up pretty close afterwards. We have great Carrie got it up.
So, yeah, just horrible stuff going on, just like keeping arrestees out of official booking databases, speeding, but that's routine everywhere, but resulting in head wounds and shackling for prolonged periods, denying attorneys access to the, quote, secure facility, holding people without legal counsel for between 12 and 24 hours, including people as young as 15 years old.
Yeah.
Now, yes, this is all insane. It's just that, I don't know, is it me or is it just that, like, this stuff is, it's disturbing that this stuff seems normal these days. Like, is that just me? Do you guys feel that way too?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like, me, it's not just you. You know, I think that people were kind of conditioned with some of the crimes that went on in Iraq, and I think they've kind of been conditioned as well with Guantanamo, and they're aware that our government's doing this. And there were so many people saying it's going to come here, it's going to happen here, and they called those people crazy, they called them conspiracy theorists. And, you know, it's kind of been in the public discussion for a while. And now that it's, you know, finally broke that it is happening here, people are just kind of passive about it. And it's, to me, it's that passivity that's terrifying.
Yeah, you wonder when the breaking point's going to happen, when there's actually going to be unrest that will get some real, actual reform and not just these, like, band-aid things. Of, like, we'll just look at one consequence and maybe it'll solve it. So that's kind of like the whole minimum wage thing. I mean, that's a whole other debate, but that's an example of, like, a Band-Aid thing that only gets rid of a symptom but not really the source of a cause.
Exactly.
Or, like, is it something else? Like, I don't know. Just when are people actually going to rise up? It's one of those things you wonder, like, well, throughout history, I mean, we're always taught about, oh, and this revolution happened, this war happened. I mean, in state schools, it's always just dates and names, and you hate it, and the teacher doesn't care, and the students are apathetic. But, yeah, it's just like, do you guys even learn anything from this? It's like the way people got reform, the way individuals got reform, they shot the government. That's what happened.
Yeah,
it may not have been good all the time, but
shooting the government is a moot point now. There, you know, and there's so much technology out there that you know, unfortunately, our military that we pay for, that we have actually put money into, is on top of. Gosh, yeah, I mean, it just even fathom everybody taking a gun or shotgun or this, that, and the other. It's like a bunch of people taking rocks and throwing it at a tank. It's not going to happen.
And, you know, what's so
we
scary.
We have to go deeper than that. It's not about brute force anymore. We have to come together collectively and intelligently and come up with a different way to, you know, and we're not talking about, you know, taking down the government or this, that, and the other. We're talking about reestablishing our government purposes that our forefathers, that our founding fathers came up with government. Government was a necessary evil, but it was also very limited and very controlled in the early days. And we need to return to that. We really did.
You know, I think it goes back to, I think it was a Bill Hicks quote that said that the next revolution is going to be a revolution of ideas.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm all for that. Like, avoid violence at all times. That's only an absolute last resort, and strangely the neoconservatives forget that whenever it comes to Islam or just anybody who threatens the quote-unquote national security of this country, which pretty much means the entire world wherever we have some interest. At least that's what it seems to me, and I've done a lot of thought experimenting and thinking about this, and it's like, which countries do we invade? Oh, right, the ones that we have certain interests in, which isn't really about protecting you, the American person, or bringing democracy in there, for that matter. And when they talk about the democracy thing, it's usually a plot to put our own guy in power under the guise of democracy.
See, I think you just nailed it on the head. See, and kind of my hypothesis on this is the United States has learned from people like Hitler and different nations that have tried to conquer other nations throughout history. What I believe the United States has done is they're invading countries, but instead of raising the American flag above the Capitol, they're allowing the countries to keep their own flag, and they're just establishing their own basically puppet regimes in these countries. So it looks like we gave them freedom, but really we just conquered the nation, and we want to go on to the next one.
Absolutely.
And it's basically, you know, we helped you set up a government, and it's your government in name, but we're really pulling the strings.
We're going to make you think you're in charge the whole time.
Right.
And you're fighting for your freedom, and then when you've retain your freedom, America's going to be behind you the whole time. And they're going to be behind you, and something's going to be stuck.
But they're not even good at doing that because, you know, we're in perpetual war in the Middle East. Look at that. And we're only in perpetual war in places, you know, it has nothing to do with morals. You know how many countries around the world are doing horrible, despicable things. But, you know, like the caller said, we only go into places that have financial interest for our country and
absolutely.
For our nation.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's like the, I think it was a GCHQ or NSA slide from one of the Snowden docs, but it's like it specifically said, what country doesn't want to make the world a better place for itself?
Exactly.
That's the... Oh, yeah, and the whole surveillance thing, that's uniquely about economic espionage. I really don't think that it's after terrorists or these pedophilia or drug rings or anything like that because, well, they're still so widespread. You'd think with all this surveillance, whoa, with all these cages, we'd be so protected.
Well,
but maybe it's because those people are running the show. That's just a thought, but it's obviously ineffective for the way it is now. And I don't think that adding more and more surveillance is going to make it any better. In fact, I think it will make it worse.
How about the drug war? I mean, how does heroin or cocaine land on the shores of America? Is heroin, poppy, are the coca plants grown here in America? Oh, hell no. Oh, hell no.
Oh, yeah, I think, like, yeah, I saw the...
When you're talking about how much comes into these borders, how much comes up into America... Yeah, that happens on accident. That much is smuggled in. Are you serious?
Yeah, it was one of those. I like this web series. I don't know if you guys heard of it, but the stuff they don't want you to know. I mean, they're pretty skeptical about a lot of these things, but they analyzed the whole poppy seed trade, and at least from the data that they gathered, yeah, it's like the Taliban actually reduced the poppy seed trade to almost nothing, and then, oh, look, we invaded Afghan, and it came right back up.
Well, that's called good economics for morally corrupt people. But
yeah, they understand economics very well, but
right, exactly.
They're not exactly
that's
for the free market.
About, we're talking about because we understand economics and true economics very well,
but,
and how people are able to get into a situation where they can make, I mean, a just asinine amount of money, an absolute so much money that they could never, ever spend it in a lifetime. And that's exactly what we're talking about. We're not talking about drug dealers. We're talking about the drug dealer, and that's the United States government. Hello.
Absolutely. Well, I tell you what, thank you so much for calling in and giving us your opinion tonight.
Yep. Have a good night, guys.
You too.
Take care, man.
Bye.
Absolutely. Great points of...
awesome caller, man. He was good.
Great caller. Yeah. Anybody that's been calling in, we haven't been able to get to all the callers, feel free to call back in. The telephone number is 718-717-8296. So... You know, I'm going to go back to it. I don't care. We started off with it. We went back to it. I'm going back to it. We know it gets up my crawl. American
crawl. Come on.
American sniper. I'm telling you. It just aggravates me to no end.
And again, I've let this loose before. Sometimes we do this broadcast and we have the evil thing on the television and we watch it sometimes with the sound off and it really is just, man.
Oh, Hannity tonight was just gushing at the fact he could talk about Chris Kyle again. I mean, you would think Hannity has, you know, some sort of gay inclinations towards the guy.
Oh, no, we can't say that now. He's conservative.
Well, you know, whatever.
No conservative person has ever been out of the game.
He's in love with the guy, and he doesn't want to deal with the facts that the guy was not the person that Clint Eastwood put on film. And mind you, the Clint Eastwood film dehumanized people as well.
Well, and you know, it is sad, and you know, we'll take it back a step. It is sad that he did have to pass away in the fashion that he did.
No,
nobody should have to die for any other reason other than the fact that they ate too much roast beef and they passed away at 80. You know,
but right, but you know, and what bothers me so bad, and then it goes back to the story we're talking about with Dr. Rainey Beckham earlier. Is it's the Christian conservatives. It's the people that watch Fox News and watch Sean Hannity.
Yes.
Sean Hannity will get on TV and talks about being a Christian and talks about how, you know, he believes in Jesus. And yet he turns around and says, Chris Kyle is this great hero and that we need to go and attack all these countries. And it's just absolutely insane. When Ron Paul tweets out, live by the sword, die by the sword. Okay. That's a quote from Jesus when he was being arrested in the garden. Ron Paul, they want to crucify Ron Paul, Christians do, for quoting Jesus. You've got a preacher that's talking about, no, this guy, you know, this isn't where it's at. Why didn't people go watch Thelma? Because it was about somebody that was preaching about peace. We have a day named after him. We don't have Chris Kyle Day. Well, Texas does now, but we have Martin Luther King Day. Nobody wants to go see
it. What day is Chris Kyle Day?
I think it was like February the 2nd or something.
Yes,
something
sir.
Like that, yeah.
To the net we go.
I think it was February the 2nd, but irrelevant. They just want to shove this guy's story down your throat. They don't care about this guy. They don't care about this guy's family. They care about the emotions that it evokes in Americans. And they want people to fall into the establishment. They want people to believe in the establishment. And that's it, period. The Republican Party and the church in general in this country are so in bed with each other, it's ridiculous. And look at who the Republican Party has. We're talking about Lindsey Graham. We're talking about John McCain. We're talking about warmongers. Warmongers.
Let me go ahead and just shake the scaffold to the ground right now. Wasn't it politicians, the people that killed Jesus?
I believe it was a combination of pressure from the church handed over to the Roman Empire and politicians.
Pontius Pilate was a politician. Wasn't he the one that had?
But that wasn't. But you have to remember that wasn't the U.S. government. Our government would never do that. That's what they want you to believe. Meanwhile, and if anybody wants to look this up, please by all means do. Lyndon Johnson. There's hundreds and hundreds of hours of Lyndon Johnson taped phone calls from when he was president. He's on tape saying that the United States killed the president of Vietnam. That's on tape. He says it. You don't think the United States does this? They do this stuff all the time. And we're talking about this was in the 60s, okay? There's so much more technology now. They get away with this stuff all the time. Lyndon Johnson was an absolute scumbag. Richard Nixon was an absolute scumbag. Gerald Ford wasn't even elected. But we have democracy. We have freedom. What Gerald Ford, though, was on the Warren Commission. So that helped sweep things under the rug.
That freedom is going to spread to every single corner of the earth like herpes.
And I tell you, and that's something I really hate to go on about. I probably talk about it way more than I should as far as Johnson McKinney thing. I'm telling you, I say it all the time. They tell me to get over it. I just can't get over it. I just can't get over it. I've been doing some research recently, and we're going to see, there's kind of a developing story on this and see where, you know, it takes us. But there was a letter written to Jimmy Carter in 1977 by a guy named Billy Joe Lord, who was from Midland, Texas. For anybody that's familiar with Midland, Texas, there was a man also by the name of George Bush Jr. living in the same town at the same time.
But you're talking about G-Dub in the house.
But this was, Bush was about 30, 31, somewhere in that area, because it was 76, 77 when this happened. The letter was dated sometime in February of 77. But so the guy, basically, in short, the Billy Joe Lord was a roommate of Oswald's for about 2 weeks on a cruise or ship wasn't really a cruise. It wasn't like they're on the Carnival Cruise Line, but they were going overseas, and I believe Billy Joe Lord was going to Switzerland or somewhere like that, and Oswald was when he was going to Russia. So, you know, they spent, you know, a short amount of intimate time together, as well as they both served in the military. But, and he gave his deposition back in 63, Mrs. Lord did. But what's so telling about the letter is that he mentions repeatedly in the letter that, you know, this was America's first coup d'etat. Oswald was in the CIA. Why did this stuff never come out? Why did the Warren Commission never talk about this? He goes, Oswald, like, repeated. He had these 9 points in the letter to Carter saying that Oswald was in the CIA. And, you know, is there anything you can do about this? And the reason he wrote the letter was because he had started being intimidated by outside sources. His house had got broken into. He had people calling him and threatening him. He had people trying to get him to say certain things and say this and say that. And one of those people that was mentioned by name in the letter in February of 1977 that was there to put pressure on him was a man by the name of George Bush Jr.
G-Dub and I.
And here's something most people probably do not know either. You know, you hear so many people and they hear rumors and, you know, they don't really do their own research. A lot of people are like, well, George Bush Sr. was the head of CIA when King was killed. No, he wasn't. Not even close. He hadn't even run for Congress at that point. He didn't become the head of CIA until Gerald Ford was president. Ironically, Gerald Ford, again, Warren Commission. But George H.W. Bush was on the ground in Dealey Plaza that day working for the CIA. There is a signed deposition by George Bush stating that he was on the ground working with the CIA that day. And at the time, he was still, you know, running his old company, and this wasn't all officially on the record, but there's a deposition signed by him in the National Archives. You can look all this up online, stating he was in the CIA and he was there working that day in Dealey Plaza. Also, there is a report that was issued, became, you know, it's not confidential anymore, that was signed by J. Edgar Hoover talking kind of about the events of the day, that George Bush is named in that, having been there and seen other things. So there's multiple information, evidence, whatever you want to call it, documents that put Bush on the ground there. So at the least, you know that, especially being in the CIA, he has more information than the average person.
So what you're basically saying, and let me dumb it down, because you know, this is for my own, you know, well-being. What you're saying is that George H.W. Bush,
yes,
was on the ground.
Yes.
At that time.
Yes, when King was shot, he was there.
At that time, he was there.
Yes, 100%. By his own admission, signed deposition.
And eventually climbed his way up to head of CIA, climbed his way up to vice president, climbed his way all the way up to a one-term president.
Right. And even Reagan is
a hell of a man.
It is.
Think about it. Think about the retirement plan that comes with being a president.
Something. Area code 773. Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. How you doing today?
Hello.
Back to the wonderful technology. The NSA can listen in, but apparently we can't get a decent reception.
Well, I mean, at least
here. That's all right.
They can at least talk about something. Come on now. Hey, you guys need to quit that.
But, yeah, back to what I'm saying. And, you know, you have to remember at the time, people make it out like, you know, Bush was, you know, the mastermind behind this. Bush at the time did not have the power to be a mastermind behind this. That doesn't mean that there could not
have been. Are we talking about Bush Senior or
Bush Junior? Bush, oh, yeah. Yeah, Bush Junior.
Yeah, Bush Junior has Bush never Jr. been a mastermind of anything.
No. We're not talking about W.
Mouth. Come on.
You know, and I think the reason that Bush Junior's name came up in this man's letter is because, first off, Bush Jr. was very well off. He was 30, 31 at the time, whatever he was. And they lived in the same town. So, you know, a powerful guy living in the same town as this guy, of course, you're going to get him to put the pressure on the guy to do whatever you need to do. Area code 505, welcome to Anti-Media Radio. How are you doing this evening? Well, there it goes again. I'm convinced at this point that it's just the NSA calling and hanging up.
It could be. Or it could be just some people that saw a phone number and say, hey, I want to call this and see what happens.
They should. We hadn't done any Seymour Butts or anything like that.
My voicemail has always, well, like once every 4 or 5 months or so, I have this friend of mine that puts my number on like awful like public bathrooms for a good time call, and I'll get one of those numbers every now and then. So I think we're getting, yeah, here's another one.
Area code 928. Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. How are you doing tonight?
Very good.
Fantastic. What would you like to talk about?
How was your easy to eat?
Say what?
Do you like basketball?
Yeah, basketball is an absolutely fantastic sport. But on to something real.
See, I told you.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
It's one of them nights. Is there a full moon out?
It must be. It absolutely must be. But that's okay. That's cool. I mean, basketball is a fun sport.
I know Nick is listening to this right now and cracking up.
Oh,
he
yeah.
Has to be.
But anyway. So, yeah. I'm telling you. For me, and I made a statement about this on Facebook last night. It just infuriates me that anybody with half of a brain that has done their own independent research and really looked into things cannot at least fathom and entertain the idea that Lyndon Johnson was involved in killing Kennedy. And everybody's like, it happened so long ago, we don't care. We don't know what happened 2 weeks ago. All anybody talks about is today. This stuff affects everything. We still haven't gotten to the root of the answers from one of the biggest events in the history of this country. It just kind of dissipated. It just kind of floated off in the air, and we're just supposed to accept that this is what we're told, just deal with it and accept it. It's a long time
this
ago.
This kind of goes back to, you know, all of the other recent presidents. How many of those have been involved in controversial decisions, whether they've been, you know, advertised or not? There's, you know, everything gets declassified every 25, 30 years or so.
Right.
And then we'll find out the truth long after the fact.
And then nobody cares anymore.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and again, was he the author? Was he the person that set that into motion? Absolutely not. Are you kidding
me?
What? Lyndon Johnson.
No.
No, absolutely not.
Because?
Come on. Because there's a lot of other things that United States presidents authorize that has nothing to do with anything that they care about. They're just a mouthpiece.
You got to remember, Johnson was...
They're the official word that...
Johnson wasn't the president at the time. Johnson was the vice president and a very meaningless vice president at the time.
Yeah.
Because... So he hated the Kennedys, and the Kennedys hated him.
Funny how meaningless vice president, George H.W. Bush used to be one of those, if you remember.
Well, it's quite funny, you know, there's some vice presidents that are meaningless, and we talk about George Bush Jr., who probably had the most powerful vice president this country's ever seen.
Yeah, the one without a heart. the tin man.
Exactly. Yeah. But, you know, the caller brought up earlier and got the story up on Anti-Media, kind of change gears here a little bit. The black sites in Chicago, that is some terrifying stuff.
And we're not talking about a government-sanctioned black site. We're talking about the city of Chicago. Not even the state of Illinois. The city of Chicago, a city, established some little dark basement, you know, their own little Guantanamo.
They're not charging people.
That they're going to shuffle people off to without any kind of a representation by an attorney. We have an anecdote of a 15-year-old child going off to this black site without his parents, without a lawyer, without anything going on. They suspected him of doing something ultra violent and threw him off in a dark hole at for however long they wanted to without any rights whatsoever.
And ended up releasing him.
And no charges. With no charges. None whatsoever.
Well, there's also a story of a guy that went there and died in a holding cell. No story of why he died in the holding cell. He just died.
Well, there's no story because there is no information.
This is happening in the United States, inside the 48 continental United States.
And I'm sure that information is erased unless they need to use it in court. That's what a black site does.
Right. And it's here in this country. That is happening. It's been released. This isn't conspiracy hour. This is fact. And also, okay, the guy that died in the holding cell, they are just like, well, we don't know why he was even here. There's no record of him being, we don't know why.
Yeah.
We don't know why. Freedom.
No record.
WMDs. Yeah. WMDs. 9-11. 9-11. 9-11. Freedom. 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 Chris Kyle. Chris Kyle.
They also house a lot of the military weaponry that the United States government supplied the city of Chicago in case of terrorism.
Absolutely. It's supposedly like 1,700 pieces of military equipment. There's MRAPs all over the place. There's just weapons of war all over the place. This is in the city of Chicago. We're not in Baghdad here. This is in Chicago.
Yeah, but I want everybody that's listening to this broadcast right now to recognize and realize, if you're listening to this broadcast and some of the things that we're saying make a little bit of sense, you need to go into your bathroom right now and look into the mirror, because that's your new generation of terrorists. Mm-hmm. When we run out of all the fucking, when we finally get to the point where we eliminate the Middle East, and not eliminate the Middle East in a military way or with atomic weaponry or this, that, and the other, but we go ahead and cut them off and cut off the business that we do with them and let them go ahead and fight over that big old sand pile over there and try to live in a new and improved 2015.
But see, what you're saying has already happened. Homeland Security has already declared that people that right-wing people in this country and people that believe certain ways, activists in this country, they could be left-leaning, right-leaning, anything. They've already compared all these people to terrorists. That's already happened. DHS has already done that.
And so what I'm saying, though, is that if you haven't picked your side and you're trying to pick which side you're going to go on, you're going to stay on your side, you might as well go in the bathroom and look in the mirror right now, because that's your new generation terrorist.
But here's the thing.
That's the people that they're going to be looking for, and they're looking for you right now.
But here's the thing. I believe that most people, despite their rhetoric and despite the things they say, I believe most people kind of believe along the same lines as what we're talking about. I think the disconnect comes in with people's fear. And I think people are so involved and wrapped up in their own fear that either A, they don't want to admit these things to themselves, or B, they may know it deep down inside and they don't want to admit it, or B, they do acknowledge this stuff and they talk about it, I agree, but, it doesn't really have anything to do with me. I've got to worry about this and I've got to worry about that. And, I get that. That makes sense. You do have to take care of your family. You do have to pay your own bills. But at the same time, when there's such injustices going on in a country that, you claim to be very, very thankful to be in, well, all the things you're thankful for, that's being stripped away right in front of you.
Absolutely.
And the more you say, I don't have time to really worry about this, even though, yeah, maybe it is happening. Maybe it's not so crazy. Maybe this is happening. But as long as they're not knocking on your front door, it doesn't concern you. As long as you don't see it, it doesn't concern you. But what happens in 5 years from now when they are knocking on your door? What happens when it is in your living room? Because guess what? It already is in your living room. You just don't see it. Because pick up your cell phone, pick up your telephone, turn on your television, turn on your computer.
The government talk about Gemalto again, about the 2 billion SIM cards that the American government had access to?
Exactly. The United States government has implanted itself in every aspect of your technological life. And that doesn't mean that you need to live in fear and say, well, I'm just going to go run the woods and live. What it does mean is that you know what? You need to stand up and say, we've had enough. What most people believe and they tell them says, well, what am I going to do about it? Because I'm one person. What can one person do about this? And, you know, it takes one person sparking a change. But in the times we're living in, collectively, it takes that one person and then your neighbor and then your neighbor's neighbor to come together and stand on a doorstep or write a letter or make a telephone call. That's it. It's as simple as that. It doesn't take a ton of effort, and it can change your future immensely. The impact of you caring and, you know, picking up a telephone to call a congressman or whatever it may be, you know, of course politicians are bought and paid for. Of course they don't listen to one guy that calls. But you know what? When 3,000 people call, they hear, I'm not going to get elected again. I'm going to lose money. And that's all they care about. That scares them, and they will then bow down to the will of the people out of their own selfish reasons. And that's
and you have to watch, because they'll bow down to the will of the people and then backslide at the first chance they get.
They will, and you know what? People cannot be so, they can't be in this 24-hour news cycle anymore. They have to, that's why I sit there and will rant almost every episode and mention either King or Bobby or John Kennedy. Because we have to remember the sins of the past to be able to move forward. Because if we don't remember that, we are bound to repeat them. And we're repeating them every day. Because people are so, whatever, it happened so long ago, it's got nothing to do with me. They're allowing the same things to transpire over and over and over. And you have to hold people accountable for the sins that they make, including offing the president in broad daylight. There were aspects, not saying it was the complete government, but there was an aspect of our government involved in it.
Absolutely. Oh, man. Come on.
But people don't want to talk about that. The same with King. People don't want to talk about that. Yeah. You know, and not to get too conspiracy here, but the facts are, I don't want to sound like too big of a
hillbilly. No,
Billy.
The facts is, boy, come on.
But I still haven't seen a plane at the Pentagon. Something hit it. There's a hole. Not a hole big enough to get a plane through. I don't know what happened. But my vision and my perception tells me that there's no way a plane went through that. So what happened?
Yeah. But
why don't you tell me that story?
And you know.
Because that's a big story. Because all this encroachment on your rights, you can't go to the line at the airport without being touched. That's all because of that.
You want to talk about the hole in the building and how much jet fuel can burn steel and so on and so forth. Look at the destruction at the two towers. Look at it.
It was
the destruction of the two towers that took down how many buildings?
Took down, well, three in free fall time.
No, I thought there was only two towers. Yeah.
There were three buildings that went down in free fall time.
Three buildings.
But one was hours later.
And the same type plane with the same apparently amount of fuel took down how much of the Pentagon?
It just took a little chunk out of the side.
Yeah.
It didn't even go all the way through. It was like the tip. There's a small hole in the very back side. But it, you know, and it did collapse eventually. But you know, it didn't just sit there and uniformly collapse.
And we talk about this, and a lot of people automatically, wow, wait, come on, man. No, you're stretching here. You're stretching. Go back and look at this. Go back and, well, I mean, whatever's left on the internet that, you know, hasn't been carved out. Come on now.
But these are such important issues.
But I remember that. I remember that broadcast. I'm a man of a certain age. We'll put it that way. And I remember where I was and what was going on that particular day and all the news footage that came in. It was fascinating, and it was horrifying that this, you know, could happen, and something like this could happen just from a few mere individuals, you know, with some sort of little plan from, you know.
Right, and here's the thing.
Sketched out on notebook paper, and the X is here, and it's all drawn out in crown, and we're going to take the knife, and we're going to hold it up to this guy, and it was all very there was a formula there, and the formula made no sense whatsoever.
It's all
with bogus. All of the security measures that we had in place, even pre-9/11, that something like that could happen.
But I want to be very careful, and I want people to remember this, because I believe most of the people out there listening do acknowledge certain aspects of what we're saying, you know, about we've been lied to about these major events. At the same time, you have to be very discerning in your judgment. And just because you know you've been lied to, you can't jump to a conclusion you don't really know the answer to. Now, I believe we can all sit here and say, yeah, no plane, sorry, didn't happen. We can sit here and we can all point out the lies. And I think,
or we could say a plane went in there, and we could also say something came in behind it. I saw was the aftermath.
But I think the problem people get in, is saying, well, we've been lied to, so it's completely an inside job. Now, I'm not saying it wasn't. I'm not saying it was. I'm saying I literally don't know. What I do know is that there's been a ton of lies told, a ton.
Absolutely.
And we need to have answers for those lies. We can't be like the people on the news, because the people on mainstream television, they want to sit here and tell you, this is what happened, deal with it, this are the facts.
Black,
you know what?
It's
black and white.
Black and white all day long.
And I can't sit here as a responsible journalist and somebody that conveys information to people to sit here and tell you, I know for 100% fact, because some guy like pulled me down the street corner and whispered in my ear.
We live in a great nation.
Right.
I can't tell
you that for a fact. What I can tell you for a fact is I have the intellect to know that there's way too many lies surrounding all these stories. And we need answers to these lies.
And there's so many different shades of gray. There's like, what, 50 of them? Yeah, that's another distraction. Check that one out. At your own risk.
50 Shades of Chris Kyle coming out next month.
True that.
But, so anyway, people need to be very aware and cautious. But at the same time, don't believe any source. Don't believe just one thing. Right before we go off the air tonight, let's take one more caller, area code 936. Welcome to Anti-Meat Radio. How you doing?
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much for asking. This is my first time actually listening to your show. I love it. What I'm calling to ask you all about is the ISIS false flag. What exactly is that all about? Can you shed some light on that for me?
With in regards to what? ISIS being a false flag or?
The beheadings
that
have been displayed.
Okay, as far as that goes, there are videos, and it does appear that they are killing people, but at the same time, their videos are been done behind green screens, and there's been multiple mainstream outlets as well as us that, you know, the technology's there, you can see that it's green screens, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, too, as far as they've got videos like 7 foot, members of ISIS walking around carrying these.
I saw that post on Facebook.
So, you know, what it's saying is, and it's kind of what we were just talking about, you see the lies that are being told to us and you see the propaganda, but at the same time, just because you know there are 100% lies being told, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's all a complete false flag or it is this. No, ISIS definitely was at one point funded through Syria and more than likely still is by the United States, and they steer that in a different direction. John McCain, you know, talked about it in length at many points. But I tell you what, thank you so much for your call. Please join Nick tomorrow night and then join us again on Thursday night. Everyone have a fantastic evening. Yo.
I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.